Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 674. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is hanging out somewhat close to me on the floor by my guitar. Not the new one, but the Adam Jones, a small standard. My first Gibby. Now he's moving. He's been fed. Well, it was like 2 hours ago, so he might not be so vocal. But I did find out somewhat of an origin story to Agent Fox. I don't know where he came from personally, but his lineage. I have found out things about his lineage. I was perusing through photos in my photo library inside my iPhone. And, you know, they got the, nowadays they have the AI in there that, can tell you certain things about photos. It picks things out and, without asking, it just shows, just gives a little information that was like, I ended up clicking on a picture of Fox in there and, there were a picture of a cat, a little thing that I could click on, and the the first breed that I'd come up with when I'd clicked on the cat was a Japanese bobtail, because in the photo you couldn't see Fox's tail, so they I guess assumed he was tailless, which he is not. He's got a full size tail, got a bit of a long tail. Not to be a size queen about a cat's tail, but he's got a long one. Oh, as I'm fucking banging my headphones into the microphone. Some great audio. But anyway, the Japanese bobtail is like I you know first looked at that and I was like, that's clearly not what Fox is. And then the next thing it showed. I mean, I think this is definitely his breed, but the Turkish van, which sounds like some kind of, you know, euphemism or something, some kind of dirty sexual thing, doing a Turk. Ooh, baby, I'm going to get with me and we're going to do a Turkish van on you or something. I don't know what that would imply. Something greasy? I'm not sure. Turkish van. It makes me think of Chris Farley with his I live in a van down by the river. Like, I live in a Turkish van down by the river. But, and of course, I just thought it was the funniest, one of the funniest names. I'm sure there's probably some other funny cat breed names, but Turkish van is definitely, it just sounds funny. I mean, if you didn't know that I was talking about a cat breed, and I just said Turkish van, I don't know, you know, what would come to your brain? I mean, I'm just a dirty person, so it's just gonna, there's a lot of coming. I am not in the Epstein files. I would like to state that, though. I know for a fact I'm not in the Epstein files. I'm not a pedophile, nor am I a billionaire, so I don't think you'll find me in there. Pretty confident on that. Pretty confident. anyway, Turkish fans. I mean, if you Google search Turkish van and you look at the images, like the first cat picture you'll see will look pretty much just like Fox. The Turkish van, the distinguishing traits, there is basically it's like 90% white. Then the generally apparently some of them can be still considered a Turkish van, if they're all white, but I think that's usually considered a different breed. I do have the Wikipedia page opened. I could read that here shortly. But mainly, most of them look all white, with the exception of color on the head and the tail, like Agent Fox Mulder over here, with just a couple, maybe a couple other spots of color. Just a little dollop there, a little dollop here, which is basically what Fox looks like. I mean, this is the Wikipedia page on Turkish Van. Again, not some dirty sexual thing. It is a cat breed. It says here, not to be confused with Van Cat or Turkish Angora. Turkish Van Kedisi redirects here for the Landrace called Van Kedisi in Turkish. See Van Cat. Gonna guess that I probably butchered the pronunciation on some of those words, the Turkish words. It says here, the Turkish Van is a semi-long-haired, standardized breed of domestic cat, which was developed in the United Kingdom from a selection of cats obtained from various cities of modern Turkey, especially southeast Turkey. The breed is rare, is one of the larger breeds, and is distinguished by the Van, I think large in just the size, but it is rare in quantity is what I'm gathering there. That's kind of, yeah, but it's distinguished by the Van pattern, named after the breed, where the color is restricted to the head and the tail and the rest of the cat is white. This is due to the expression of the piebald white spotting gene, a type of partial leucism. I don't know what the leucism is. That is, it's a wide variety of conditions that result in partial loss of pigmentation in an animal. Oh, good to see. Or good to... Leucism, I guess, is actually how you pronounce it. a Turkish Van may have blue or amber eyes or be odd-eyed, having one of each color. Fox here's got the amber eyes, both. He's not crazy-eyed. I'm looking to see if he's, like, behind me. He's like, you're fucking talking about me, man. I don't like it. It says the breed was first recognized as such by a breeder slash fancier organization, the UK-based Governing Council of the Cat Fancy, the GCCF, in 1969. Under the name Turkish Cat, it was later renamed Turkish Van to better distinguish it from the Turkish Angora breed. The Turkish Van has been claimed to be descended from and is often confused with the Landrace of usually all-white Van cats, mostly found near Lake Van. Though one of the two original breeders' own writings indicate clearly that none of the breed's foundation cats came from the Van area, and I think they're talking about the original Van cats. It's a little confusing. I'm a little confused on that. Maybe they are referring to the Turkish Vans. Breed standards. Breed standards allow for one or more body spots as long as there is no more than 20% color and the cat does not give the appearance of a bicolor. I feel like there's some kind of racism going on here with the cats. A few random spots are acceptable, but they should not detract from the pattern. The rest of the cat is white. Although red tabby and white is the classic Van color, the color on a Van's head and tail can be one of the following: red, cream, black, blue, red tabby, cream tabby, brown tabby, blue tabby, tortoiseshell, dilute tortoiseshell, also known as blue cream, brown patched tabby, blue patched tabby, and any other color not showing evidence of crossbreeding with the point colored breeds, Siamese, Himalayan, etc. Not all registries recognize all these various. Yeah, let's go to the physical characteristics. I care about all this other shit. The behavior. That's the behavior and the physical characteristics. I think that's the important parts here. As man, all these pictures look so much like Fox. The Turkish Van is a large, muscular cat with a moderately long body and tail. It has strong, broad shoulders and a short neck. The jock of the cat world. The body of a Van should neither be stocky or thin. It should call to mind the body build of an athlete, and indeed, it is one of the largest cats. They take from 3 to 5 years to reach their full maturity, and when they do, males range in weight from 10 to 20 pounds, with females ranging from 7 to 12 pounds. Foxes, I guess, about midway in that 10 to 20 pound range. Probably close to 15 pounds. He's a large fella. He's a semi-large fella. For a domestic cat, he's a pretty good size. The coat on a Turkish Van is considered semi-long-haired, while many cats have three distinct hair types in their coat: guard hair, on hair, and down hair. The Turkish Van has no evident undercoat, only one coat. This makes their coat feel like cashmere or rabbit fur. The lack of an undercoat gives a sleek appearance. The coat is uncommonly water repellent, which makes bathing these cats a challenge, though the coat dries quickly. The breed actually has two lengths of hair determined by season. In the winter, the hair is thick and long. Thick and long and uncut. No. In the summer, the hair sheds to leave a shorter, lighter coat. I feel like that's every cat. You know, there's a lot of the stuff in here that could be like every domestic cat. Says the coat begins short at birth and grows in gradually over a period of 3 to 5 years, so that the kittens may be short-haired in appearance with thin tails, but as they mature, the fur on the chest will fill out and the tail will thicken into a full brush tail. The tail does not shed hair or orange according to season, but remains long and full. The ears remain feathered with fur, so that even with its summer coat, the Van looks soft and fluffy. The Turkish Van is one of the larger cat breeds. I think we've established that already. Ideal type should feature broad shoulders with a body that is top heavy. Fox, you know, he's a little light on top, considering he is missing the front leg anyway. Which I also feel, I mean, he's very active, I think, for a three-legged cat. He can run pretty fast for a three-legged cat, we'll say. But I don't know if I can classify as an athlete. He is top, they're top heavy. That is a cat with its center of gravity forward. The cat is moderately long, and its back legs are slightly longer than its front legs. I've never really measured that on my homie. But neither the cat itself nor its legs are so long as to be disproportionate. They have large paws and rippling hard... I feel like somebody's jerking off while they're writing this. They have large paws and rippling hard muscle structure. Somebody's really getting off on cats here, which allows them to be very strong jumpers. Rippling hard muscle structure. Wow. All right. am I reading 50 Shades to Grey now, the cat version? What the fuck? Vans can easily hit the top of a refrigerator from a cold start on the floor. Fox... Again, he is missing the front leg. I think he usually jumps on the countertop before he hits the fridge. That is a little too high up for missing a leg. Anyway, they are slow to mature, and this process can take 3 years, possibly longer. Vans have been known to reach 3 foot long from nose to tip of tail. Turkish Van may have blue eyes, amber eyes, or be odd-eyed, having one eye of each color, a condition known as heterochromia iritis. I'm sure I pronounced that right. The breed typically has very large ears when it is a kitten, growing into its ears over time. The nose is straight and Asiatic. Considered long for a semi-long hair and with its high cheekbones, startlingly bright eyes, it gives off quite an exotic appearance. Oh yeah, that's right. Fox is hot. All right, let's get to the behavior. This is an interesting thing. Let's stop talking about the rock hard, rippling hard muscle structure, or what I believe is how I put that. I'll come back to that later, maybe. The TICA standard notes several characteristics, including their high intelligence, energy, and playfulness, also making them somewhat mischievous. This is also something that I feel like can be said about pretty much every domestic cat. What the fuck? They're muscular and highly driven. They like to climb and perch high up to study their environment, and they get around their domain with impressive athleticism. They make quite successful hunters. As a consequence, their drive makes them easily trainable with positive reinforcement to play fetch, do tricks, or walk on a leash. I have not tried to walk a fox on a leash. That is something I have not tried to do. Tricks? He will not play fetch. He will chase after things, certain things, when I go around. But he doesn't really bring it to me like a dog. Although there may be efforts to move the breed towards greater sociability, a 2021 study in Finland did find that the Turkish Vans in their research showed higher than average tendencies towards fearfulness, aggression towards humans, as well as a lower stress tolerance, notable excessive grooming and litter box problems, and lower sociability to humans and cats. Curious. Turkish Vans want to be with their owner, participating in whatever is happening, and so they may follow a person from room to room, which is true with Fox here. He is my fucking shadow. He usually, I can't tell if he's in here at the moment. Are you in here? Yeah, he's right behind me. He's usually in the same room with me. He's usually right there, unless they're, you know, food or, you know, he's sunbathing or watching some kind of animal outside, typically. Anywho, I lost where I was in the article. yada, yada, yada. I hired. Yeah, the Finland stuff. Okay. Yeah, I totally lost. Yeah, here we go. They may follow a person room to room. While Turkish Vans are affectionate to their family members, these are not normally lap cats. Fox is not. He is not a lap cat. He does not like to lay on laps. But there's a difference, though. There is a difference. He doesn't like to really lay on my lap unless I'm on the downstairs couch and I'm reclining back. If I'm laying down, he wants to lay on top of me. He loves to lay on top of me when I'm lying down. But if I'm just like sitting up, like he's not fond. He won't like just sit on my lap. So it's weird. So he's sort of a lap cat. Like he likes to lay on my legs. Just, I have to be like in a reclined or fully laid out. It says, they may lie next to their owners and will happily allow themselves to be petted, but this is not a breed that tolerates being picked up and often wants to be near their owner, not on their owner. Fox does like to be on me. Again, just weird about the lap thing. Not on my lap. Does not like to be picked up. That's true. But this is, again, this is, seems like semantics. This could be just like most like domestic cats. Turkish Vans do well in a single pet household. Found that one out. Call back to Scully there. And they don't seem to suffer from separation anxiety. I gotta say, I think Fox does have that. He is like my shadow. He's my ride or die, you know. And he gets very upset when I'm away from home for long periods. When put in a home with either with other cats, they much prefer being around other Turkish Vans. Dogs can be no problem as long as they are introduced properly and patiently. Can be no problem. yeah, maybe I should have just gotten another Turkish Van. Scully was not a Turkish Van. She was just like all orange. When it comes to families, Turkish Vans are happy to play with children. not my experience with Fox here. He just doesn't seem to care for children. But care must be taken to make sure small ones are reminded that the breed may not enjoy being held. Which, I mean, yeah, just no small kids. And it says they may strike out if forced into such a situation. The native Van cats of Turkey have been nicknamed the swimming cats due to an unusual fascination with water. Despite the modern Turkish Van breed consisting mostly, almost entirely of pedigreed indoor-only cats with no access to large bodies of water, and despite dubious connections between them and the cats of the Lake Van area, some feel that the Turkish Van has a notable affinity for water. For example, instead of swimming in a lake, they may stir their water bowls or play with water in the toilet. And some may even follow their owners into water. However, the idea that the breed likes water more than other cats may be mistaken, according to some pet writers. You know, I did see some videos of some Turkish Vans swimming on the YouTubes. And I was not a dick. You know, the thought had occurred to me. Well, I was like, you know, let's just see, because I don't think he really likes water. I just want to point out, I didn't just like throw him in a tub of water upon finding this information out. But I was curious to see if he would interact with some water if I, you know, maybe turned on the faucet and whatnot next to him. The only time I've never bathed him, the closest I got to that was when he first arrived here and I was trying to figure out what litter, worked for him the best in his litter box. I had bought this, expensive, I think it was Tidy Cat, litter, like their most expensive one that was like no dust. Cause I didn't want to, like, that's the worst part I think of having a cat is the litter box and like having the dust and everything get everywhere. So this stuff was like, again, no dust. It would clump up real nice. It was like the real nice clumping. Note again, I was thought it'd be awesome to get the shit with no dust, and this stuff was supposed to be like super clean for the house. The problem was when old Fox here uses the litter box, this seems to be the only time he forgets he's missing that front leg as he tries to cover his shit and piss with the missing leg. And if you watch it, it looks like he is vomiting into the litter box. And then you start, if you watch him for a little while, it's like, oh no, he's trying to bury the shit. And he can't. And then he ends up just like walking through it. He doesn't always do the greatest job. I think, you know, sometimes I don't like sit there and watch him use the litter box all the time. I try to give him a space. yeah, when I use the real expensive stuff, it clumped all over his paws because I guess he had walked through it. Like his piss and stuff, and it clumped all over his paws and just cement on his paws. And I was like, man, it looked painful. And I quit using it immediately as soon as I realized it was doing that to him. And I had to get that off his paws. And so that's like the only occurrence that I, or the one time that I've sort of given him a bath, because I was like, there's no way this is going to go well. He is not going to like this. He was just with me just a couple weeks at that. So he wasn't like fully trusting me yet. We didn't have that much of a rapport. And yeah, I filled up the bathroom sink and then wrapped him in a towel and individually went with each paw and dunked it in the sink and like washed his paws so they'd get all the litter off there. And again, I only let out like one paw at a time so he wouldn't just completely shred me with his claws. He was not fond of that, but I managed to survive because of the wrapping of the towel. I think that was a genius move on my part, and I'm usually an idiot. For me, that was genius level stuff. That was like Mensa level thinking. Anyway, I'm not real sure. I've gotten water on him before, which he didn't seem too crazy about, but he hasn't really. I know some cats, it's hard to get them to drink water. That's one thing he doesn't like. He drinks water all the time. He's all good with that. But I haven't really seen him do anything where, like, man, I think he might be a good swimmer. Again, too, he's missing a leg. I don't know that he's going to be able to swim real well. That may not be a great idea. He might have to swim with his head. Maybe just kind of like tread water with the front paw and then just kick with the back, I guess. I mean, you could, but that's still. I don't see that working out real well. But I did fill up, after watching the videos of the Turkish fans going crazy in the water, just swimming about, I did fill up the bathroom sink again and brought him into the bathroom, picked him up, which, again, the Turkish fans and Fox here, this really applies to him, does not like being picked up. He wasn't too happy about me picking him up and putting him on the counter, but once I put him down, he was cool. But then he realized there was water in there. He didn't put his paw in there. And I did kind of put a little bit on his paw. I didn't splash him. I had a little bit on my finger and, like, put it on his paw, and it didn't bother him at all. But I was trying to get him to, like, interact with the water and, like, turn the faucet on a little bit. He was interested. He got his head all up in there. He's like, "Ooh, what's going on?" But then he didn't, like, try to lick it or anything. Seems like he was, you know, I'm not really sure. Like, how he feels about water. I did find that people had said with the Turkish fans, if they're not doing much with water when they're young, then they're probably going to hate water, like most cats. But, you know, I figure, you know, maybe one day after I clean the tub, I'll just decide to just leave it with some water in it and then see, take Fox in there. I am not going to throw him in there. I don't think he would ever trust me again. And again, he would probably murder me. I feel like that would be, that'd be a rough go of things. It'd be a little, and it's just wrong to just do that to a cat. I'd rather do that to a person than a cat. And I not that I'm going to toss a person into water, but but yeah, he may or may not like water. I mean, he's fine with drinking it, but I would imagine, you know, most cats at some point have to drink water. don't think he's probably going to be a swimmer. He is not the Michael Phelps of cats. That is for certain. Though he might surprise me. You never know. I mean, hell, he can run up and down the stairs. Maybe not as fast as a four-legged cat, but he can run up and down the stairs. Perhaps he can swim a little bit. I don't know. Though I feel like if I were to attempt that, you know, like maybe don't fill up the bathroom tub a lot. Like just a teensy bit. I would not like, again, I don't want to, you know, drown the poor fellow. Or anything like that. There was, I love the guy. I don't want anything bad to happen. But on to different things. Here in the penthouse, right before coming on here, it's difficult for me to keep up with working on things because I am working now 6 days a week, and I start 10-hour shifts again next week. There's not a whole lot of time, but now that the drywall has been completed downstairs, I have gone back to painting downstairs, and I've got a full coat of black paint on the hallway ceiling. I figure I'll do like two more coats probably tonight. I think that'll do it for that hallway as far as the ceiling is concerned. I might go around after finishing those two coats too and do the touch-ups around the ceiling, around the whole downstairs, because I got some smaller paintbrushes to go in there and really get some fine detail out. I might just be getting close to like finishing. I'm still thinking about whether or not I want to paint the bathroom. I kind of feel like, you know, it needs to be that way. I need to paint the bathroom just to be like uniformal, or just maybe close the door at all times. Right now, I mean, I was debating on what I should do as far as the light fixture in the hallway. I wasn't real crazy with the light fixture in there. I wanted to do something maybe in theme with the movie thing. And it was also, there was a white light fixture. So I definitely at least needed to paint it, you know, to paint it black, like the Stone song. I was looking for stuff. I looked through just an insane amount of light fixtures on Etsy and on the YouTubes to try to find something that would work for the right when you walk into the hallway there, which is, you know, right by the front door. I thought it would be cool to have something that really says, like, ooh, you're walking into a movie theater. And, like, the idea, you know, I really wanted to have is just to really have just the light, which there is some light fixtures I thought about. Might be kind of cool. But I'm kind of like, I need to stop spending so much money. Like, I've already spent so much money on the whole, you know, experience here on the whole. But anyway. I just saw that I ordered a lamp that I did get. I think I'd mentioned that I had ordered already. I think I'd ordered it before the last podcast, but I ordered a lamp that looks like a retro Hollywood spotlight, floor spotlight, and it's fucking nice. It's real nice, and I have it set up downstairs. But they are using, fun fact, they're using the picture I took of it in my dining room is the thumbnail for their lamp now, which is kind of cool. It's like, oh, that's my, got the blackout curtain or shade there and what have you. And it looks just interesting. I wouldn't have thought. I wonder if it just shows it that as the number one thing, just because that is because, you know, I'm not even signed in. So that I was gonna say because I was signed into it, but no, that's not why. But there is a bit of glow now. When they resize it, it does have a bit of a haze to it. but I mean, it's not a bad picture. It's got a nice little glow to it. But I was pretty pleased with that. And it came from India, and it took less than a week to arrive here. That is like one of the biggest downsides about Etsy. I really like getting stuff from Etsy because there's just so many cool, like, one-off things you can get that people are creating. There's just a lot of a lot of just cool things that people make on Etsy. Oh man, I found some cheaper light boxes for posters. That's something I might end up doing eventually, is getting some LED posters. Because that is, I mean, it just looks nice to have it illuminated, if you will. Anyway, it's definitely, that lamp is pretty nice. It is, shit. Pull that back up for a second. See, yeah, if you just look up Retro Hollywood Spotlight Floor Lamp on, 1950s cinema style industrial film light movie theater replica from its handmade lighting hub. And again, it's from India, and I got it within a week. It was less than a week. And I was afraid, you know, because the tariffs, those wonderful tariffs. I was afraid that when I got it here that it would end up they would go like, hey, you know what, here's you're gonna have to pay the duties on this, the duty, and because yeah, there's tariffs on all kinds of shit now, and but fortunately yeah, I didn't have to pay anything extra. It was just a little pricey, $440. It says it's on sale, which I find they do this with a lot of shit on Etsy. Like, I don't know that it was originally this price, but I feel like they just say shit's on sale to make it sound better, you know, be like, ooh, yeah, it's on sale. Because it's like there's always shit on here that just said, most of the stuff on here says it's on sale. I feel like that's a tactic. Because, like, it said originally the lamp was, like, over $1,000, which I wouldn't have paid that for the lamp. Like, that was a bridge too far, which really I shouldn't have spent, like, $400-something. But it's quality. It is fucking worth that. I mean, it is this real nice fucking chrome, man. It is thick, like, steel on there. And, I mean, it's pretty fantastic. I did order a... I doubt he's going to listen to this, so I could just, like, spoil the whole thing. But I did order Shelly a birthday gift off Etsy from The Shinin, The Shining. And anyway, it was, yeah, it's just totally, there's so many good things you can get off Etsy. There is one, like, lighting fixture that might look okay, like, in my hallway. That is another 35mm film roll that they turned into a light fixture, but it's a little bit different than the one that I have in my dining room, which I think it looks cooler, the one in the dining room. This other one, though, looks like it would, if I were to go to the route of putting a different light fixture in there, would be better. Simply because the one that's in my dining room, I wouldn't want in my hallway. It wouldn't make sense because the light goes straight down. There's no light going out the sides because of how the lights are set up in the film roll. This other one on Etsy I've seen has lights, three different lights on it, and they're not covered, so it's not going to go straight down. There's going to be illuminating coming out the sides. It's coming out the sides, baby. Anyway. yeah. As of right now, though, I'm leaning towards just not putting a different light fixture in down there. But maybe once when I finish getting the movie posters up and stuff, I might feel like, you know what? I need a little something extra there. As of right now... Not feeling that way. But again, we'll only time will tell. Only time will tell. I could eventually feel the need to change that. It's starting to look pretty nice down there. Starting to look pretty nice. I am just ready to have it done. I feel like it is way past time there needs to be just a lot more I just wish it was done already. There's just like going down there, and it's just like seeing all of the areas that need to be touched up, and everything is just like just drive me nuts. And it's like it's bothered me so bad that I just don't have it finished. It is driving me a little nuts, a little nutty, kind of like my shit a lot of times because I eat a lot of nuts. A little nutty. Anyway. Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with that whole deal. I mean, I'm so close. I'm hoping within the next week I can finish it up. Again, though, I'm going to be on overtime. It's going to be a bit of a struggle to finish it all up. I'm hoping to have at least the ceiling done tonight. Get enough coats of paint on there tonight. The ceiling will at least be done. Maybe do touch-ups on the ceiling throughout. Which basically there's just a little bit, I mean, there's just like a white line around the fucking ceiling throughout the downstairs that I'm going to need to go through and touch up. I got some small paintbrushes. I almost said toothbrushes. I'm not going to use a toothbrush for that. I got some small little brushes that I can use for detailing. But yeah, that's really all I got to say about that for the moment. It's coming along. It's coming along. And it's close. I have managed to play my new ES Supreme a bit. Not as much as I'd like, because, again, I've been working a lot and trying to finish the house stuff. But I did come up with a name for the ES Supreme. I'm not usually one to, like, name my guitars. That's not, like, when I got my first guitar when I was 15, so, you know, like, 40 years ago. Because I'm old as fuck. More like 30 years ago, but still, or, you know, 29 years ago. That's still a long fucking time ago. That is a couple of lifetimes ago. I got my first guitar. It was a cheap guitar that was like out of a mail order catalog. This is, you know, before you could buy shit online. And it was like maybe $50 at the most for this guitar, which at that time, you know, $50 was a lot more money, but it still wasn't a lot of money for a guitar, you know, even then. But I did get that again. I was like 15. I was already working at that point, I do believe, at Bartholomew's restaurant. And I think... Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was at Bartholomew's. Anyway, the point I was getting at, I was like, ooh, I should name this guitar. It just seemed like a thing to do, like, at the time. And so, you know, being a big Beatles fan at that time, like, the first song I could kind of play was Blackbird. My dad had taught me that. And the Paul McCartney song, of course, when he was in the Beatles. I named it Rita, as in Lovely Rita, the meter maid, which sounds like an awful, if I'm going to name a guitar, that just, I don't know, it doesn't sound great. I was just like in passing, I'd gotten a guitar, so I was bored, I guess. I didn't have the toys that I have now, and the internet wasn't what it is today. you waited, you know, 15 minutes for a JPEG to load up back then. So it was nothing like it is today. However, I thought I was going to call it Rita. And then, like, I wrote in, like, red model paint the shit you get for, like, you know, putting, like, a model of a Camaro together. I used that paint, I think it was, to start. I started writing. I don't even know if I finished. I think I did write Rita on. I was like, this looks fucking terrible. And I just thought, after a little bit, it just like, this doesn't seem, I didn't think like the guitar should have a name. So I was like, abort that name. Get the hanger out, the lighter. Let's fucking finish this. I guess I could have tried to scrape it off, but that paint is fucking on there. I would have had to like sand it off. I mean, that shit was fucking on there. Again, it was a cheap guitar, and I ended up just fucking, it ended up, that guitar basically just disappeared. I left it at my ex-girlfriend's house when I moved out, and I don't know what ever happened to it. It was, again, cheap guitar. I don't even think it had a truss rod in it. Actually, what I was going to say with the name, I ended up covering it. I think rather quickly I realized, like, this is terrible. That looks fucking terrible on there. And so then I had a yellow submarine patch that I glued on over the name because I thought it looked so terrible. And like, I'm like, this guitar doesn't even, it's not even worth naming. That's, but this ES Supreme though, I just thought that it was a really funny name. I had, just thought like if I was going to name it, like this is, which I had, since I came up with that, I hadn't really thought about it so much, but it is a Blueberry Burst ES Supreme, and it's my number one guitar right now. So it, you could say it's the leader of the pack. So my name for this ES Supreme, again, Blueberry Burst, is Supreme Leader Barry. Yeah. So from time to time now I'm like, I gotta see how Supreme Leader Barry's doing. And all hail Supreme Leader Barry. I was gonna hook it in tonight, put the spark through the soundboard and maybe play a little bit of it, get some sounds from Supreme Leader Barry, but I was in between painting coats, and so I opted not to do that, as I'm going to have to put on a coat before too long. Actually, right when I wrap this up, I'm going to go get some food, and then I'm going to go, once I do that, I'm going to put another coat on the ceiling. You know, I might stare at Supreme Leader Barry beforehand. I don't know. I'm going to refrain from touching Barry while I'm in the in between painting, because I don't want to get paint on that. That is a guitar that I don't want to destroy. I'm not going to be putting paint and writing. I'm not writing Supreme Leader Barry on this one. maybe I could get a little sign made up, though, like 3D printed sign or something to put on the guitar stand. Put Supreme Leader Barry. This is just something, a little something. That is one other thing that, though, that I think I'd mentioned a few times on the podcast that I mean, with this home theater setup downstairs, I mean, I could always just add more as I go along. But I am still considering possibly putting the 3D printed movie titles on the walls in the kitchen there, and just hanging those might be a little tricky, getting them centered just right, and then you know, putting nails. There's like the one I've got doesn't have anything on there to really nail it to the wall. I could drill some holes in it and shit, whatever. But I'm a stickler when I hang stuff these days about getting it just right, about getting it level, and also centering it. Symmetry is annoying to me when shit's not symmetrical, like when I hang shit on the walls. So I try to do some measurements, and what's funny is I try to do it often at times real late at night, and for some reason my brain's not working properly to be able to do measurements right, and I'll end up fucking it up and having to rehang stuff, and I realize, god damn it, that is not centered on the wall. But of course, there is some things that are on the walls, like the doorbell chime that is on my wall that is not centered on the wall down the stairs, which annoys the hell out of me, hanging shit on there. It's just shit's not fucking centered with things, because there's shit like that on the walls, and it's not in a centered spot. And that stuff hurts my brain real bad. It needs to be centered. You better believe, though, with Supreme Leader Barry, there is symmetry going on there with that guitar. It's no Gibson, man. It's a real deal USA-made Gibson, which people do complain about Gibson's QCing these a lot. I didn't have any, back to Barry here, though, I did not have any issues. I have not found any flaws in the guitar. Now, my first Gibson, the Adam Jones Les Paul Standard, there were some tooling marks, which seemed appropriate since, of course, it is the, you know, Adam Jones is the guitarist for Tool. So it seems rather, you know, it seems appropriate that it has tool marks since it is, of course, Adam Jones' guitar after all. And he is from Tool. that was only like minor. I mean, it didn't affect the playability or anything. It was just tool marks on the binding on the fretboard. Well, of course, there was kind of an issue too. When they drilled the screw hole for the, this is again on the Adam Jones one, not the new one. They, drilled the hole for the, strap button. I don't know. They must have drilled a little too much, too big of a hole, I guess. And that's a little loose in there. Like, I feel like I maybe should put some wood glue or something there. I've never had the screw come out on me completely, but I know that I've tried to put strap locks on there. It didn't quite work quite right. anyway, but I do have the diamond strap buttons that I'd gotten off of eBay that were originally from the Kalamazoo factory. They don't come standard anymore, period, on Gibsons. They did have it on the Adam Jones custom models, and I think even on the Epiphone they had the diamond strap buttons. but no, on the standard they didn't do that. And I wanted those on there, so I got them off eBay. and it's a little weird with the screw in there. Again, I should maybe put some wood glue or something in there. maybe redo that hole. Redo that hole. Stick a little something in there. Screw that hole. I should re-screw that hole. now, if I ever become a touring musician, which seems just 0.01% chance of that ever happening. Considering my age and my, you know, I'm just not that great as a musician, I'll admit it. But, anywho, I don't see that happening. But again, if I were to gig with that, even if it's not a touring thing, if I were just like to become a part of the local band, that even seems probably very unlikely. but if I were to do so, I would be a little nervous playing that guitar on stage. I would probably want to re-screw that hole. Re-screw the hole, man. Again, though, Supreme Leader Barry, I don't need to re-screw any of those holes. I have not noticed any imperfections there. The pups, everything pretty nice. I haven't really bothered with the coil taps. I forgot there's the coil taps and whatever. You pull the the pots out, and then you can go like single coil basically, because it's got the humbuckers. You can tap the coil or whatever. There's coil taps and whatever the other. I forgot what it is, but basically you. It sounds like a single coil pickup as opposed to a humbucker. I haven't really... I've gone like old school with the basically the tones on it. I just go bridge pickup, stay with the humbucker, and basically volume all the way up. Though, you know, I haven't played it with my normal amp, the Fender Champ, because again, I've got everything torn apart right now in the house, and I've been I've been storing some shit in there. And again, I haven't had much time, so I'll just plug it into the Spark amp. Well, that guitar, Supreme Leader Barry, has only plugged into the Spark, which I feel kind of bad about. And you know, at some point, I'm gonna have to go over to Muffin Man's house. Hopefully, if I do that anytime soon, it'll be if the overtime just drops out. But and hook it up to my Marshall half stack, because I think those two would just get together so well. Supreme Leader Barry plus Marshall half stack. I mean, thinking about those rippled muscles again. It's like a Turkish van and his rippled muscles. The Foo Fighters, playing the Foo Fighters on there sounds pretty great. On Supreme Leader Barry. Supreme Leader Barry is quite good at the Foo Fighters. Hopefully next week, which again, I'm working 6 days next week, so probably not going to have much time when I go to do the podcast. I don't know if there would be plug-in Supreme Leader Barry in for that one. But the following Saturday, I know I'm off, so maybe then I'll give some samples of Supreme Leader Barry. I'm not, you know, keen on playing like guitar for recording for other people. But I figure I can, you know, maybe just give just a little taste so you can hear what this Supreme Leader Barry sounds like. ES Supreme. Blueberry Burst. I mean, it plays like a dream. That neck, it's fantastic. It sounds great. Acoustic or, you know, plugged in. That's winner, winner, chicken dinner right there. I don't feel like it gets much better than that. Because, you know, half the time I play, probably more, I guess more than half. Though I don't play acoustic guitars much these days. Yeah, half the time I play, it's not amped up. I just pick the guitar up off the stand and play away. Chug it away. Simply because, you know, most of the time I play, I'm not working on doing it for that long. And so it's just a quick in and out, if you know what I'm saying. You know, in and out. Strumming it up and down. Hands sliding up and down that neck. Caressing it ever so sweetly. I do enjoy playing it acoustically. Nothing quite like playing it amped up, though. I mean, amped up is the way to go. And doing anything. Oh, I just... this stuff is funny. I saw pictures of the meme, but I didn't know what exactly happened. I had seen some videos, and some stuff that I watched, but I didn't actually watch to find out what it was. There's memes with the CEO there with some woman and the look of shock. I didn't know what the deal was over, but apparently, I'm sure most people have heard this, but there's this CEO, Andy Byron, CEO of Astronomer. He was at a Coldplay concert with someone that wasn't his wife on the kiss cam, and was the just fear on both of their faces is pretty epic. Pretty fucking epic, I gotta say. But who does it, like, why does Coldplay have a kiss cam? I'm quite curious about that. That's not something, I don't know of any other, like, I realize this happens a lot at sporting events, but I go to different concerts, apparently. That's definitely not a thing at Tool shows. I don't see them playing Prison Sex. Well, of course, they never play Prison Sex anymore, but Stinkfist. They'll play Stinkfist. And I've yet to see a Kiss cam for Stinkfist, which is a shame. They should definitely have a Kiss. If they're going to do a Kiss cam, do it on Stinkfist or Enema. Preferably Stinkfist. But anyway, it says here, somebody says here, the CEO Andy Byron threatens to sue Coldplay for exposing his affair at concert. Is legal action on the horizon? In a stunning development, Andy Byron, CEO of Astronomer, is reportedly considering legal action against Coldplay after the band's Kiss cam exposed his public affair with HR, Human Resource Director Christine Cabot, during a concert. Or she may be French. Cabal. Byron claims that the exposure of his private life without consent has caused irreparable damage, citing invasion of privacy and emotional distress. What are the legal implications, and how is the scandal affecting Byron's career and personal life? Let's break down the explosive details. Let's not. The funny video I saw earlier was Josh Fries, which was kind of funny and ironic that he would be posting this. I feel like it was kind of a stab at Dave Grohl because his whole deal, speaking of the Foo Fighters, because it came out that he had a secret love child with somebody that, again, not his wife. Obviously, it wouldn't be a secret love child if he had another child with his wife. But Josh Fries, again, he was the drummer for the Foo Fighters until fairly recently when he was booted and they didn't really give him much of a reason for it. They just fucking kicked him out, like, yeah, kicked him to the curb. Josh Fries reposted a video of this woman claiming to be the CEO's wife. I don't think it's actually his wife. This was a joke video. She's very upset. She's like, this is talking about how she's gonna, she's like, I can't believe, she's talking, just like crying and stuff. And then she's like, I can't believe I found out this way that my husband is a Coldplay fan. I'm heartbroken. I'm filing for divorce. I'm shocked. Again, not that he was fucking around, but that he's a Coldplay fan. And that was kind of funny. And that Josh Fries would do that. It felt like a jab at Dave Grohl, which I feel like is well deserved. Well deserved after, you know, booting him from the band like that. And also, you know, he had a secret love child. So shots fired. But I still love the Foo Fighters music, you know. So Dave Grohl may not be the greatest guy, you know, or at least to women that he's with, which is on par with pretty much every rock star, is it not? Though, you know, I don't know every rock star. That stuff was pretty funny, and I'm sad and I didn't watch more the videos because there was a weekly news I watched, like on YouTube, the Weekly Weird News, I think they had a segment on it. I forgot what the YouTuber's name are, but the segment I watch a lot. Anyway. They had a thing on it, and I didn't watch the whole video. I missed that. I'm saddened. It did occur to me, too. I want to say that I've been a fan of Mr. Stephen Colbert for a long time. I've got his book. I was a huge fan of the Colbert Report. When that show came out, I mean, I was a fan of him when he was on The Daily Show as a correspondent there. That was back when The Daily Show was real hardcore, man. That was those early field pieces. Part of it, too, was the fact that unless you watched The Daily Show, which at the time didn't have quite the audience that it does now, it wasn't this, like when Colbert was a correspondent, not it was a way, way smaller of an audience. And again, if you didn't watch the show, you weren't unaware of The Daily Show. However, which was great for when the correspondents would go out and do interviews, and fucking nobody did it better than Stephen. As he would, one of the things I loved he would do, this is during the George W. Bush administration. He would go, George W. Bush, great president or greatest? And people were always like, neither. I'll put you down for great. That's like how we'd end like all of the interviews. And, you know, they had no idea who The Daily Show was. So, he gets some pretty crazy interviews that people agreeing to the shit, thinking, like, this is, like, a serious thing. But anyway, he was ballsy. I mean, he went in front of Congress during the Bush administration, again, the W. Bush. And, he did the correspondence dinner, the White House correspondence dinner and shit, like, holy shit. Colbert Report was fantastic, and I forgot the name of his book. I'll have to find his book again. I Am America and So Can You, I think, is the title of that. And it's just got that classic look of him from the Colbert Report, which I do like him on The Late Show, but I prefer like the him in character as the Colbert Report. He was fucking the dude's quite good when it comes to like improv, doing shit on the spot, and just a funny motherfucker. I do like him on The Late Show, but unfortunately it sounds like that's coming to an end. As the other day, I'm sure everybody's heard this by now, but CBS's parent company is Paramount is like trying to do a deal. Acquisition. I forgot what the deal is, but basically they gave Trump 16 million or billion, whatever the fuck it was. I think it was just million. I don't think it was billion. Not with a B. a lawsuit, because he had sued them for editing an interview with Kamala Harris where the stuff that was edited out was nothing. But it was a frivolous lawsuit, and there's no reason why they should have settled, but they wanted to go through with this merger or whatever the fuck they're doing. And in order to do so, be like, you know what? We're just going to give you $16 million. And, I mean, it is just a straight-up bribe. And Stephen Colbert, who works for CBS, called it what it was on the broadcast. A couple days later, they announced they are getting rid of The Late Show, not replacing Stephen. They are not finding another replacement. The Late Show has been going on for decades now at this point, and it's, you know, one of the, I mean, it's like the highest rated of the late night talk shows, really, that are on like network television, I believe, right now. Like, Stephen gets some good numbers. They decided, you know what? Fuck you, you're done. And he's his last show will be next May. Unless, of course, he does some things to get... Maybe they move that date up. But it's kind of fucked up that the comedians... They're finding ways to silence comedians now. great. Fascism is so fun, right? I mean, that fucking sucks. But I am looking forward to watching The Late Show now, which usually I just pick up a clip here and there, but now I'm going to, like, I got to fucking see it all now. Because I would imagine it's balls out now. Stephen's not going to back down. The Colbert will not back down. He's going to report. Like he does. And which makes me think of when Conan O'Brien was fired from The Tonight Show. How much he ripped into the network, NBC, whenever he was let go over the whole Jay Leno fiasco. before he moved to TBS, like his last shows were fantastic. Fantastic. And he gave like NBC so much shit during those last episodes. Beautiful. I'm going to venture to guess Steven, he seems pretty fearless with that sort of stuff. I think he's going to be just like relentless with this shit. I mean, he'll say whatever about Trump, but I would imagine now it's going to be no holds barred until they just either May comes up and they the last show there, or they just like, we got to get him off the air right fucking now, which I feel like might be the case. It might be a couple of weeks from now. Is I envision Steven's going to go scorched earth, especially now since the, you know, everybody's all of a sudden remembers that Donald Trump is a pedophile. You know, that is kind of the big news story as they're like, oh, yeah, he's all over the Epstein files. What do you know? And he used to host teen beauty pageants where he'd go backstage and look at them naked and whatnot. And there's at least one woman that has come forward to say that she was, I believe Trump, in her words, forced her to give him head when she was like 13, and threatened to deport this woman, this other woman, if, or girl, if she did not go through the, I don't remember exact details on the story. But, you know, I mean, in his own words, he has sexually abused women. I mean, there's, you know, grab him by the pussy. I feel like this shouldn't be a shock to anyone, right? That, I mean, it's well documented that him and Epstein were friends. And, like, should this note, the like, really, he says it's fake news now. It's fake news. It's all bullshit. These photos we've been seeing for decades now of him and Jeffrey Epstein partying together, and like, oh no, I didn't write a letter where I drew a picture of a naked lady on it with a Sharpie. Not me. Fake news. But I would imagine Steven's going to be ripping into that quite a lot and remind even more so than the normal. But again, it doesn't really matter because, you know, the people that love Donald Trump don't watch that show anyway because he makes fun of Trump. So they're not going to hear it. I mean, there's video footage of Epstein and Trump partying together that's been out there for years and years. And they're like, he exposed Jeffrey Epstein. He's the one saving the children. He also talks about how hot his daughter is, even when she was a child. You know, that's normal people do anyway. I'm a little peeved by, you know, the, but I knew that this, you know, shit like this was going to happen. I mean, it's, stuff like this has already been happening with crackdown on free speech and what have you, since the orange one has taken back the reins, if you will. I got to get going, though. I got to put some more coats on the wall. I need to get some food in me. So let's look at brighter times, like a black ceiling, if you will. I'm totally used to the black ceiling now. It doesn't bother me, and having like no light in the downstairs. Although, I'd probably have a cheaper electric bill if I didn't have all black ceilings now downstairs, because I do keep the lights on all the fucking time when I'm down there. But yeah, that's really all I've got. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.